the OTB Podcast Network.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
I'm not worried about it. I can stand over this. Cora Staunton, Lee McHale, Kevin Kilbane, and Kieran MacDonald.
OTB AM's Mount Rushmore.
Yes, it is time for OTB AM's Mount Rushmore, and this today we're doing Louth. It's fairly straightforward. Ronan is the OTB selector. Dan McDonald is the OTB challenger, so he gets to boot off one of Ronan's and present. He's going to present his own four, but obviously he gets to edit for one of them. And we will have a last pitch as well for you. Before we get going here, where will this actually be? Where, Ronan, where in Louth are we going to have the Mount Rushmore?
Ah, well, it has to be in picturesque Cooley, Ger, and I think you're going to find that Cooley has a big say in this Mount Rushmore. We'll get to it in a minute, but one of their most famous sons definitely will be. I think he's coming in slot number two in Mount Rushmore here in Louth.
Right, and Dan, was this hard? I mean, surely it's not hard. There aren't that many. It's not a rich sporting tapestry you guys have to choose from, is it?
This is just a poor wind-up attempt, Ger. It was hard. Yeah, it is difficult. For the smallest county, they've a decent enough history, you know, decent enough. Probably more so in my chosen sport, but also across other sports as well. There's some high performers. I think it's a decent enough field, I have to say. I don't know what Ronan's gone for, and we'll see like sort of how it plays out across sort of generations. I'd have my view about probably when the strongest era might have been. I would have grown up hearing a lot about it, but we've had our say. In a way, in international even events that maybe people from other counties haven't.
Can I just talk about the false advertising about the wee county for a start? The population of Drogheda is nearly the same as the population of the entire county of Monaghan. Drogheda is 40,000, Monaghan is 60,000. The population of Louth is like twice the size of Monaghan. It's 128,000 according to the last census. So, like, it has always been a populous area with a big urban conurbation in Dundalk, and Drogheda has obviously exploded in the last two decades. So, in fairness, there are some incredible sporting achievements, but you should have at that level. You know, it is a county that needs to produce people who are international sports people.
That is true, of course. You know, maybe you should add that caveat every time you refer to them as the wee county or like the smallest county in the country, as tends to be the case. The reference is, no, of course. And like, you know, the history of the county as well and sport in the county, that like, you know, garrison towns, I guess, you know, and it's something that's probably come up with Athlone and might come up with even with Sligo. And there's places in the country, say, where football or soccer, as people would call it, you know, would be very strong. And it's just obvious reasons for that in tandem with the, you know, the history of the place. I take your point. It's not surprising. Even we'll probably talk about some of the say the outstanding more latter day sort of football players, like Gary Kelly, you know, Ian Hart. Gary Kelly would have played for Home Farm. Like the access to Dublin, for example,
yeah,
you know, would be pretty good if you're an outstanding young sportsman. I mean, Rob Kearney would have, you know, well, I think he would have been schooled in Clongowes. You know, like there is obviously you're close enough. If you're, you know, to the centre of the sporting hub in Ireland, I guess, and that possibly is a factor.
Okay, let's get into it. Ronan, who is your first nominee?
Well, I think Dan will agree this is about as big a shoe-in as any shoe-in can be on any of these Mount Rushmores. Number one cornerstone on this monument is Stephen Staunton. And I would wager that by the age of 21, he probably had a CV like on par with anything we've seen in Irish sport. Before we even get to what he did in England, right, have to mention, as was recounted by Kevin Riley in the Democrat a couple of years ago, like he was a prodigious GAA star, played for Art Esmond's under 10s when he was 6 years old, a senior debut for Clan na Gael at the age of 16. That was in 1985. Not only had the Clans not won a Louth senior championship title in 26 years, they hadn't won a championship game in 6 years. Staunton's first year in the panel, they play Roach Emmets, neighbours, derby match. They straight up don't like each other. And who scores the winning goal in that final? Young Steve Staunton. So a year later, he's gone to Liverpool, who were obviously the preeminent club side in the world probably at the time. Kenny Dalglish. He's only in the door a year. 1989, FA Cup winners. 1990, league winners. That summer, he goes to the World Cup, Ireland's maiden World Cup voyage. Starts every single game. And like, that's it, done and dusted, legacy secure. But he just went on and on, played in two more World Cups, 13 World Cup appearances, 13. Started every game in 1990-94, captained them in 2002. Two domestic trophies with Aston Villager, as you well know. 455 top flight appearances all told. Ireland's first ever centurion. And then his playing career ended in 05 and he kind of sailed off into the sunset, you know, unbesmirched, and that was it.
I mean, what a wise decision it was for him to...
That was the end of the Steve Staunton story right there.
And just live it out, telling stories about the glory days, and everybody loves him. That was exactly... Whoever gave him that career advice was the best career advice he ever got.
Oh, it was beautiful. After dinner speaking, you know, a few articles here and there, Sunday supplement, but that's it. Like,
yeah, and beloved of everybody. Dan, all joking aside, is there a case that his legacy has been damaged by his managerial career?
Well, not in Loud, though. You know what I mean? Like, I was at an event in Dundalk recently where he spoke, and, you know, there would have been a comment from the floor along the lines of, you know, remember what a great man this is, or I can't remember what it was, but words to that effect. And there was sort of a big round of applause. And, you know, I would have found that as someone from Louth who would have covered Steve Staunton's time and would have been quite critical of him, and would have taken a bit of local grief, I guess, for that. And there would have been naturally, you know, there's a sensitivity of protection of one of their own. And I think obviously in the wider sporting discussion, there's no doubt that when you mention his name now, I guess to anyone under, I don't want to be disrespectful, like, I mean, even to owner, like, because of course they know what a great player he was, but I think for a lot of people under 30, say, you know, they might think of him, the manager, perhaps, you know, before they think of the player. And even, I mean, even things like, you know, the accent, his way of speaking, all these things that were parodied, they were part of his, you know, they were part of the lampooning of him. But in many, you know, that was him. That was, he actually had his accent. He's kept his identity. Like, he's still very much like a local in the eyes of anyone, even though he hasn't lived in Dundalk for years. But when he's home, he is. And of course, you know, you mention his name now, and there's always a nearly a wise crack around the corner. But I've always hoped, and like, I know for a fact he has no time for press. He'd have no time for me or anyone who was on that beat. But I really do sincerely hope that with the passing of time, we go less to the managerial thing and just reflect on the achievement. Because as Ronan said, you know, three World Cups, first player to be a centurion for Ireland, also like played for that Liverpool team when Liverpool were their kings. And I mean, you can just go into the rest of his Premier League career too, the longevity. So, I mean, to me, yeah, it's the outstanding candidate. And hopefully his legacy is that.
There's no question that the legacy doesn't damage it to the point where he gets taken off Mount Rushmore. I'm just curious, lads, from a Louth perspective, what you can often have in a county is a bit of a siege mentality where people really go to bat for their own county person. Like, is there a sense in Louth that maybe he got too hard a time as Ireland manager, that somehow he is a victim in some sort of conspiracy or anything like this? That do people in Louth stick up for him basically and have blind love for Steve Staunton, the manager?
I don't know. Colm did a piece for Off the Ball a couple of months ago, sort of defending the Staunton reign, and I wouldn't necessarily go along with it because he had a great pool of players, probably didn't get the best out of them. I remember him playing John O'Shea at right back, Steve Finn at left back, when they were playing in the opposite positions for their clubs. Like, little things like that just made no sense. Granted, he was robbed of Stephen Ireland. You know, he looked like a keystone player for that side, the way it was going, scored the goal against Wales. You know, was brilliant in the few games that he actually played. But the managerial thing, it's a non-starter for me. Like, Alan Shearer was an apocalyptic manager for Newcastle, and he's remembered as no one ever talks about the fact that he got them relegated. And you go through any Roy Keane, like one season aside with Sunderland when he had Premier League money in the Championship and got them promoted. Do you know, like,
Newcastle never lost to Cyprus.
Ah, well, they lost to a lot of teams, though. But like Tony Adams was a terrible manager, Bobby Charlton, Magic Johnson, Wayne Gretzky. They were all terrible managers. It doesn't mean they weren't amazing players. And as I said, by 1990, he'd probably done more than 99% of Irish footballers, or what any footballer could hope to achieve. He'd won everything. He played in the World Cup. You know, just, and what he did, like, he would have been a prodigious GAA talent if he had stuck around. He could have done anything.
I think we can all agree Steve Staunton is going on, and we probably do all need to do a bit more work on reclaiming Staunton the footballer as the main thing that we remember. Like, you know, his leadership on the field in 2002 in difficult circumstances, He played really well in that World Cup. He was actually a good ball player as a centre-back, as well as somebody who could defend and organise a defence around him, and probably doesn't get very much credit for that. So let's move on. Ronan, who have you got next?
Well, I would say possibly the most underappreciated Irish sports star in modern history is Rob Kearney. And he's going on the Cooley Mountains. He's going on Mount Rushmore. And it felt like ever since he got that jersey, like he was trying to fend off the next successor, the heir apparent to the fullback jersey. And he just kept batting them away and batting them away. And like, we can get to the Roll of Honour if you want. But just before that, I think his abiding legacy will be that story, apocryphal or not, where he went into training camp and basically called the Munster lads out. He was a freshman. He went in and said, "You guys care more about winning in your red jersey than you do for Ireland." And whether that was true or not, you know, it kind of changed things. And from then, he started for the Grand Slam team, like just going through the Roll of Honour. It's crazy. Started for both Grand Slam teams, 4 6 Nations Championships all told, 3 World Cup appearances, man of the match in Chicago, 95 caps. And he probably should get the chance to get to 100 caps. For some reason, he's been scapegoated as the guy from Japan. And no one was in Japan. He'll be able to tell you that there were other below par performers there. And they haven't got the same stick that he, for some reason, has gotten. So that's just his Ireland career. Leinster-wise, 4 Heineken Cups, 5 Celtic Leagues, Challenge Cup, European Player of the Year in 2012. And then my favourite Rob Kearney memory is in 2009, as I mentioned, off the back of the European Cup, off the back of a Grand Slam, went to the Lions. Ian McGeoch picked Lee Byrne at fullback against South Africa in the first test. And Rob Kearney came on. Lee Byrne got injured. And the South Africans looked at this young lad and thought, "We'll just put loads of high balls in on top of him." And he dealt with everything with aplomb. Got that Cooley Kickham's background in Laird GAA. He obviously played for Laird at minor level. And I think they took Dublin to a replay in the semi-finals. So that was a decent crop of Laird players. So Rob Kearney, I think, definitely an institution. One of Irish rugby and Irish sports' most decorated players ever. So he's a shoe-in for this.
A shoe-in, Dan?
Yeah, I mean, I have put him in my 4. So I can't really sort of object to anything that Ronan has said there. But I mean, he probably wouldn't have been sort of my number one as such, or competing for my number one. It's a strange thing, really, and maybe it's just a reflection of my own view. I think of Rob Kearney in terms of Leinster as opposed to Louth, you know, in terms of, like, you know, the imprint he's left. But then he can pick away with that with any sort of, you know, any international. I mean, Steve Staunton left home very young as well, you know, and like, there's no doubting his international CV and track record. I mean, I would remember sort of growing up, you know, reading the local papers, and Rob Kearney be a couple of years younger, and reading about his GAA exploits. He was always in the local papers as, like, you know, the star of the GAA team, and then the reference to what he was doing a bit in rugby, and then all of a sudden, bang, you know, he's a household name. And his overall story, like, is tremendous. And, like, as you said, he is the international contender, I suppose, of recent times. You know, he's been at the top level really much throughout his career. So, I mean, he's the Leinster icon. I suppose you can go into the demographic of Louth and what the sports are within Louth that maybe are the main sports. And to me, I would always think of football, again, soccer to clarify, and then Gaelic football, you know, and they are the ones that are the heartbeat. I mean, rugby's always been there. There are rugby clubs, but you know, he's someone who, obviously, as I said, he went to Bordered and Clongowes. He may not sound like he's from Louth, especially, but then I know that as well, you know, that you are like, he's not the local icon, maybe in some ways, that you would have with some other candidates, but he's still, I mean, look, his achievements are absolutely extraordinary, really. So, okay, he's in my 4, as I said. He was my number one, but he's in there for sure.
He must be an unbelievable achiever in the sport of rugby, given how much we know you hate rugby, Dan, for him to be on your Mount Rushmore. I'm going to say that is unbelievable ringing endorsement from you to put a rugby man on your own Mount Rushmore, given how much you hate the sport.
Hate is a bit strong, Ger. And I've tried to leave all... I'm going to be accused maybe later on of, like, bringing some kind of sporting preferences into this, but I think you have to suspend any. Like, you are putting a lot of responsibility on us here. You know, you can't like put 4 people from your county onto some onto this Mount Rushmore, this elevated them to the highest high, and then just try and settle scores somehow, like, as part of the process. You know, so
fair play.
No, I mean, his weight of achievement is is incredible. So he's in my four. I mean, we'll see how things pan out, but yeah.
We have consensus at least on half of the mountain. You know, that's not a bad start. Who is next for you, Ronan?
Well, the first two, as I said, they were cast iron. I've tried to delineate a little bit between the sports. So we've had a soccer representative, rugby representative. So this is Gaelic Games, and obviously hurling's not a huge stronghold, but we did produce the greatest hurler of all time, Cú Chulainn, and we don't need to get into too much, you know, in depth about that. He was an intergenerational talent, not just a man, a demigod, you know.
Was he John or Dundalk?
Well, he was a bit of everything. I think RD is actually named after Cú Chulainn.
RD, which is the place of Ferdia. So it was as the legend went, it was the banks of the River Dee where the fight took place.
Well, see, using the word legend suggests this stuff didn't actually happen. But as we all know, we've seen the footage. This guy was an unbelievable stick man. And what he did with Queen Maeve, you know, that's just like unbelievable stuff. But like on the Gaelic football side of things, this is where it gets difficult, because I know the reverence that 57 team is held in, and I've spoken to people that were there. Joe Carroll, who was the former editor of the Democrat, was 11 at the time, and he was kind of putting in perspective what that team achieved. And I always think it's a little bit poignant talking about these teams of decades past, because in the current landscape, it's just not feasible that a team like Laois could even compete. So to talk about All-Ireland winners from Laois is crazy. So just to give a couple of them a mention before I actually give my selection, like Stephen White was considered the cream of that team in 1957. Frank Lynch, 18 years old at the time, brilliant talent. Dermot O'Brien, who I'm sure Dan will mention, was captain, acclaimed musician as well. And other lads that were knocking on the door throughout that decade got to the final in 1950, to the semi-final in 1953. Tom Conlon played in all those games. Jimmy McDonald actually made a comeback in 1957, scored a hat-trick in the semi-final, and then got to the final, so they all got their medal. But just in that context, like talking about great Laois footballers, like I'm picking Paddy Keenan, and it's because I can't let him fall victim to his birth certificate. Like, it's not his fault that he wasn't born in that era, and had he been around in 1957, he's 100% in the team, because he's probably the most impactful Laois sports person I've seen personally with my own two eyes. And he was Roy the Rovers for Laois. Like, he was just amazing. He did everything. And he's 100% in my Mount Rushmore.
Okay. Do you have a Gaelic footballer on yours, Dan?
Yeah, no, I do. I have Stephen White in mine. You know, I think, you know, Laois won four Leinster titles between, 47 and the early 60s. They were All-Ireland champions in 1957. They went to a final in 50. I mean, it's, again, you know, it's not my first sport, but I would have sort of grown up, again, aware of these tales. My next-door neighbour, Nicky Rowe, would have been part of the team in the early 50s. And, like, to me, you know, growing up, probably, you know, going to Laois games in the late 80s, early 90s, and, you know, there was some good players around then, like Stephen White, you know, and Colin Kelly, and there was, you know, occasional runs. But to me, even the discussion then that Laois could have been like serial winners, serial Leinster champions, All-Ireland winners, is sort of incredible to me. So I really wanted to sort of get the right candidate when I was looking back. And to me, I just think it has to be from that era. I accept that. Like, I don't like the and I accept that Paddy Keenan is an exceptional talent. And I mean, Ronan mentioned Queevan Riley earlier, who covers the game locally. I think he's put him as his all-time best. But and I have to bow to that. And they probably won't take kindly to me suddenly just like disputing it in some way. But I mean, Laois nearly won a Leinster championship in 2010. They won a Division Two. Like, Paddy Keenan's no doubt been a Royal Rovers figure. And maybe it's a bit like Matty Ford and Wexford in other cases. You have this outstanding star at a lesser county, and there's almost a sadness that they don't get to express their talent. And I do accept that. And I mean, people would say about Stephen Mealy as well, it was someone, a long-standing player throughout the sort of 80s and 90s, who had an exceptionally long career too. But to me, I just think you have to look back to that time. You have to look back to that time where Laois were the top of the world in GAA terms. I mean, Stephen White, in 1984, the GAA did their team of the century, and Stephen White was on it. And I accept that Paddy Keenan is Loud's one All-Star, but the All-Stars obviously started in 1971. If the All-Stars had existed throughout the 50s, there would be multiple Loud winners. And you can make a case for Dermot O'Brien. I've had people say Frank Lynch and Ollie Riley. There's other names that could be thrown around from an era where they competed consistently at the top. Now, what I like about Stephen White as well is that he was the father of Stephen White, who was the Loud star of the 90s, and also like a brother-in-law of Jimmy McDonald, who Ronan mentioned there. So I think if you're taking this thing as a Mount Rushmore, as a reflection of a time, I think Stephen White is like the perfect representation of Loud GAA. And I think, you know, in compiling this list, we're in danger of, like, if you have Rob Kearney and you've got Paddy Keenan and you've got Steve Staunton, it would almost suggest that sport in Loud only started in 1990, 1988, when actually, and I'll probably come into that with my other selection, we're forgetting a time where Loud were top of the sporting debate in the country in terms of GAA and also in football as well, and that'll be my other selection. But to me, Stephen White has to be, and it has to be the GAA rep.
Ronan, answer that.
No, I totally, like, as I said, that kind of prefaced my point with that like it's hard to overlook the 57 team, but I've just seen Paddy Keenan, what he did for that Loud team, and we had some great days. Dan referenced the beating Donegal in the league Division 2 final was amazing. Took Tyrone, who were all Ireland champions, like they had them beaten, and Owen Mulligan scores a point to take it to a replay, and Paddy Keenan was immense that day. And then Paddy Keenan, like the scandal of 2010, which we don't have to get into or relive right now, but like, if people want to look it up, the ball comes in and Paddy Keenan with a Tom Cruise-esque dive across the line in Mission Impossible to block. Oh, it was just, and then the ball flies up in the air and, you know, the rest is history. Joe Sheridan throws the ball in basketball style and made run away with the title. But that, there was an equivalence there. Loud winning a Leinster title in this era is almost up there with what was achieved before, because it just seems so unrealistic now that they might get anywhere near it. So that was why that was such a heartbreaking moment for everybody in Loud. And Paddy Keenan was totemic in that team. So as I said, I'm going off people that I've actually, for the most part anyway, people that I've seen myself. And I was just so enamoured with him when I saw him play in person.
I mean, there is a responsibility on you here, though. This will be chiseled into whole cold, hard granite. So it's not fixable.
But as I said, like I consulted people who were there in 57. And my main question was, had Paddy Keenan been there in 1957, would he have been in the starting 15? And each person I asked that question said, absolutely.
But yeah, I think it's possible that a lot of other players from different eras would have got into the team as well. You know, I think we are, and as I said, I take the view of the people who've watched Paddy Keenan say he was a terrific player. I think he retired from intercounty level at 29. But still won, like, I think he won 6-7 Loud titles. So clearly, like, an inspirational presence in his generation. But are we in danger of, like, sort of big fish and small pond sort of logic ending up shaping the view? Like, that allowed him to stand out. Whereas you had a team who were consistently responsible for feats. You know, I read through a whole list of games from that era. You know, it's not just one or two, three notable games you pick out. I think you could pick out loads, but they're so far back in the archive that we don't have that reflection. And I think we probably do have a responsibility to go back through time and reflect that in our pick, rather than just having a 21st century wall. You know, I don't think that's the story of sport in Loud.
Okay, well, let's hear Ronan's fourth before we make him pick his final four, and then you get to remove one and replace one, Dan. So there's definitely a candidate here. You might replace Paddy Keenan. Who's your fourth, Ronan?
Well, again, kind of trying to delineate a little bit. This is sort of like the miscellaneous section, so other sports and Eve McChrystal. Hopefully Dan can help me out with people I leave out here, but Eve McChrystal, brilliant gold or Paralympic gold medalist, rather. Tommy Byrne, who we've had on the show, you know, great story there. Noel Carroll went to two Olympics. Sports Illustrated described him as one of the best middle distance runners in the world. He was born in Annagassan. Peter McArdle went to America, competed, won gold at the Pan American Games. So these are all worthy of mention. But just to put my boxing hat on, like, obviously Jimmy McGee, was a sort of transcendent figure from broadcasting into sport. I think everyone has a Jimmy McGee memory. And for me, obviously, Katie Taylor in 2012 and Bernard Dunn, he covered all those nights, 11 Olympics, 10 World Cups, just quite a resume. But like Tom Sharkey, I did a piece on him for offtheball.com because he's not going to be on my Mount Rushmore, but it's just a crazy story. He was born in Dundalk in 1873, ran away from home at 12. Long story short, he joined naval force, got shipwrecked four times, decided to go to boxing. He was only 5'8", but he competed in the heavyweight division, fought for the de facto heavyweight championship of the world, really, against James J. Jeffries in what was the first fight ever recorded for use in a motion picture. And it was lit in the arena by Thomas Edison and Thomas Edison's film company. So that's an unbelievable story. His sporting merit probably doesn't justify him getting on the wall. But sticking with boxing, Amy Broadhurst, I think if we're going to be doing this in a few years' time, after Paris Olympics or whenever that's going to be, she's, if this was on talent, she would probably be on the Mount Rushmore because she's one of the best boxers in the country. And I think she's a surefire medalist. She's kind of got the Kelly Harrington situation going on where Katie Taylor was ahead of Kelly for so long, Kelly couldn't get to the Olympic Games. And now the opposite is true, where Kelly's going to the Olympics and Amy has to wait her turn. So I think she's a surefire. But just to denounce any notion that there's an all Dundalk bias, I have to put some Adrada representative in here. So Tony Sox Byrne is getting my nod. And Ronnie Delaney got most of the plaudits, obviously, in 1956. But we had an unbelievable boxing team. So the more things change, the more they stay the same. We got four medals and Tony Byrne got one of them. And it's just absolutely revered in Drogheda. Like, there's poetry written about this guy. I think he's the first Irish boxer to have a statue of him in his hometown. And, like, there was actually a fundraiser back in 56 to get him to the Olympics because, obviously, athletes had to fund their own way to get there. So this guy was just, as I said, revered. And it's good to have a Drogheda representative up there. So he's my number four. He's my fourth pick.
Tony Sox Byrne, the boxer who won a bronze, I think, in Melbourne. Is that
yep.
it? Okay,
bronze so, at lightweight.
Lightweight bronze medalist in 1956. Okay, look, Olympic medals definitely get you into contention, and certainly he's your number four. Who's your number four, Dan?
Yeah, look, that's a valid shout. Right, my number four is Tommy McConville. Now, Tommy McConville is a legend of football in Dundalk. I'll explain my reasons because I was thinking about it last week, and you probably. You know, he was on my thoughts. And then the more and more I thought about this, he sort of just went up the list every time. He went up my list every time. He just kept overtaking other people to the point where I just decided he had to get onto it. And I should mention around this time, like, we haven't mentioned Gary Kelly. We haven't mentioned Ian Hart. Like, and I've almost taken the approach, again, that there's almost a generational aspect to this that people talk about loud. There's like a soccer county or a team that kind of is very strong in that. But it's not a soccer country because they got a load of good players in recent times. Like, it's the history of the game. And I think sometimes, you know, I've been following the other counties very closely and the thought process that has led to decisions. And I find sometimes I'd be objective. Like, I'd be like, Kevin Doyle, surely in Wexford, Kevin Doyle should be on it. But, you know, the view would be, and I've spoken to Kevin Doyle about this, that is a GEA county. He knows the reverence in which people are held then who've represented Wexford, you know, at the highest level in terms of hurling. And they are the local heroes. And I think that there are places in the country where the footballers, you know, the soccer players are on the standing. They have that reverence of that GEA star in other counties. So I'm not disregarding Gary Kelly and Ian Harper. It's a generational thing. They're from a more recent time. Of course, they've had better careers than some I might mention. I would mention Joey Donnelly, by the way, from the 1930s, who was like a star of the Irish team in that era. Like 10 times for Ireland, he played, scored 4 goals. But in international times, you know, of the pre-Second World War era, he was an exceptional player by all accounts from Dundalk. There's also Barry Keogh in recent times, who would be a very beloved figure. You know, he passed away age 40 in 2002, but that doesn't tell the half of his story. I mean, Barry Keogh was an outstanding player at 18, 19. Then he suffered cancer. He came back. Then he suffered illness in later life. What could have been a brilliant career was curtailed, yet it was still a brilliant career in its time. But for me, I've gone for Tommy McConville. I think he just ticks all the boxes to me for what a sportsman of Louth should represent, or Rani County should represent. you can list out the stats and there's that, but there's just the stories that go with the stats as well. So he played 580 times for Dundalk. He made his debut in 1964. His last game for them was in 1986. He won three league titles with Dundalk and three FAI Cups with Dundalk, but he also won a league with Waterford. And he was such a sort of a top player in his era that he was capped six times for Ireland in the early 70s. While starring for Dundalk and Waterford, he would spend his summers in America, where he was in the North American Soccer League and captained the team called the Washington Diplomats. So he would have played against Pelé. He would have been involved in like the explosion of American football back then. And Tommy McConville was, you know, a League of Ireland star by sort of winter, and then by summer he was going to America to play over there. In addition to his six caps with Ireland, he has 30 representative caps for League of Ireland representative teams, which was a massive deal, you know, at the time. So he didn't just play against Pelé in the States. He would have played against Maradona for a League of Ireland representative. He would have toured Brazil in 81 and played against Zico, and, you know, tells a story about going over to that game. And, you know, they were up that morning and there was TV coverage, live TV coverage of a match on. He said, what game's on? And they were saying, no, that's your game tonight. They're covering it all day. And like, he was involved in this, like when football was a very different game with tours, right? Tommy McConville was the best Dundalk player of that era. And a time that I would have grown up. And this, I think this is important. Like, you know, the history of Louth, even, like, you know, you think of the 70s, you're thinking of the Troubles, you're thinking of El Paso, like, you think of the reputation of the place. And I remember growing up speaking to neighbors of mine, people who grew up nearby, and they would talk about this time where Dundalk were like champions of Ireland, where they would have played European games against PSV Eindhoven, against Porto, would have played against Celtic, they would have played against Liverpool, they would have played against Spurs. Like, in 1979, Tommy McConville, who was a defender, a top-class defender, famously missed actually a chance that would have put Dundalk into the quarterfinals of the European Cup, which to me is almost unthinkable. This could have happened. 2 years later, they played a great Spurs team that won the FA Cup, and they pushed them all the way. And throughout this time, like, Dundalk were competing at a European level on a regular basis. They were the top team in the country, and their best player was a local. Dermot Keely, who was a League of Ireland legend, speaks about his era as a player, and he says the two outstanding players of the time was Pat Byrne of Shamrock Rovers 4 in a row and Tommy McConville. Tommy McConville passed away in 2013. I knew him, but I really didn't appreciate almost till he passed the career that he actually had, like, at the top level for the entirety of his career. Like, he when he went to Waterford, a deal was done to join Manchester United with Frank O'Farrell was the manager. The Waterford directors asked for too much money at the last minute. The deal fell through. He went on strike, and, you know, he didn't get that chance, right, to go at that international level that Staunton and others did. But what he did throughout his time at home, while living at home, like, there was a person walking the streets of Dundalk who was, what did you do last week? Well, he would have played against Pelé or Zico or Maradona, but he also represented a team based in Louth in European field. He played for his country, he played international level. And also, just to bring it back to the star point, ironically enough, that Clan na Gael team that Steve Staunton played in that won the Louth title, I think, in 85, Tommy McConville also played for that team. I think he was, 39? He won a Louth title. At 47, I think he helped Bank Rovers, a local team, play for the FAI Cup, qualify for the FAI Cup. So into his 40s, he was still one of these figures that we all know in our communities that, like, they were that brilliant, talented player, and they loved sports so much, they were still playing into their 40s, like, at actually a very good level that maybe is the level that some only could ever reach in their life, and he was doing it then. So the more I think about it, I just think that we need to reflect that era in it. And I think the fact that Tommy McConville is a local who achieved everything while living locally but also went to an international field, for me, he has to go on it.
Yeah, because I think the point you make there, like, you could put you can make a case Gary Kelly had a better career. You can make a case even Ian Hart had a better career. But actually, the way you've sold it there is pretty compelling. And I get the whole point of having somebody be on the mountain who is an inspiration to people who are still there, as opposed to, oh, your dream is to do really well and get the hell out of here. It's like, no, you can stick around. You can have a great career, and we can dream big and still live on the peninsula or in one of these towns. Ronan, your four, before we get Dan to make an edit, who are your four? Are you sticking with the four you brought to us? Have you been swayed in any way?
No, just on what Dan has been saying about Tommy McConville, and I had him down here as well. I spoke to Gavin McLaughlin, who's heading up media things with Dundalk now, and he made similar points to Dan regarding Tommy. Like, he was very much of the town. And similarly, Joey Donnelly, like, if my grandparents were picking this list or my parents, Joey Donnelly was a proprietor in town, you know, had a shop in the heart of the town. So, like, was not only this international figure who scored against Nazi Germany in 1936 and was just an unbelievable footballer, he was also visible, unlike maybe other people in this list. You saw them on a day-to-day basis. I think that does mean a lot. But yeah, I'm gonna stick with my four just on that. So it's Steve Staunton number one for sure. Rob Kearney number two, absolutely certainly. Paddy Keenan for me, just for the reasons I outlined. And then Tony Soxburn, a Drogheda representative, an Olympic medalist, and just a revered figure in County Louth.
Okay, so let's hear the last pitch from Wayne Kearns. Have a look.
Hi everyone, Wayne Kearns, Louth Senior Football Manager here. Louth's boring heroes, obvious choice, but for me it have to be Stephen Staunton. Growing up playing a lot of football, a lot of soccer in and around the Dock area in the 90s, in Kennedy Cups and Milk Cup competitions, and to hear the stories of a young guy who played in the same teams before us and basically left his GAA club, Clannagale, to go and sign for Liverpool. He was basically living every young lad's dream. And for him to go on and have the amazing career he had in the Premier League with Liverpool and Villa, and of course getting over 100 caps for Ireland, he really was a hero to us and an absolute inspiration. And not only was he an unbelievable athlete with an amazing left foot, he was a really good guy as well, who was always there to offer us young players support and advice throughout his career. And while he was a massive loss to Louth GAA, there's no doubt about it, he would have played for Louth for many years. For him to have the amazing career he had, we're all very proud of him in Louth, and he really is a true Louth sporting hero.
Okay, so Wayne Kearns has doubled down on the importance of Stan to Louth, and that's fair enough. We hope maybe that he would settle the GAA debate about Keenan versus Stephen White, but that didn't happen. So Dan, it's time to make your change, and that will be it for the Louth Mount Rushmore.
I feel like, can I make a last pitch to Ronan to please replace Paddy Keenan with another GAA person, or I'm going to be blamed for like taking a GAA person off it. Because I couldn't replace Stephen White. I couldn't replace a 57 player. But I have to say, I just think we have to avoid this being a recency bias dominated list. And I'm glad there is a Drogheda representation, like with Soxburn. I thought actually you might go for the Sailor Tom. That would have been my prediction where Ronan was going to go. But I have to stay true to, I suppose, what I was going to do initially. My order of play, I had Tommy McConville behind Steve Staunton, so he's next up for me, and I'm putting him on the four. There's no doubt I'm putting him in the four. I'd be looking at Soxburn, I'd be looking at Paddy Keenan, and if it was a GAA player of the 50s, then I'd probably be looking at replacing Soxburn. But a player of recent times, I don't really, you know, with all due respect to his achievements and what he's done, I think if we're having a Mount Rushmore to reflect the sporting history of Louth over a prolonged period, I'd rather Tommy McConville up there than Paddy McKeenan. But I say it with regret because I'd love Stephen White to be there as well, but I'm sticking with Tommy McConville. Of all the counties to have two soccer players, I think it's probably fair enough that there would be. I regret that there's no one from the golden era GAA up there, but I can't change my mind on account of Ronan's selections. I have Tommy McConville number two, and he was going on for me, and he is, and I'm going to pop him on there and replace Paddy Keenan.
Okay, so the final Mount Rushmore is Steve Staunton, Rob Kearney, Tommy McConville, and Tony Soxburn. Are you happy with your day's work, lads?
I'd like to have Stephen White up there or someone from that era. So it's not especially satisfying, but
Ronan. Yeah.
Hey, I thought I had a nice balance with every sport represented, but no, I take Dan's point. It's just Paddy Keenan. I'm just so easy able to quantify him in my own mind. I've seen him play, and I just like the reservations I had were against 57. I just know how good he was, and I've been able to corroborate it with other people that he was as good as those players.
But now so he's gone. He's gone now. Yeah.
But I think we can definitely agree on the first two. I think they're Stonewall in the mountain, and then I suppose it is a matter of opinion. Like Barry Keogh, as Dan mentioned.
Just... No. You can't be introducing any more. We're way over time.
Barry Keogh would have been for tremendous as well. But,
like, I'd love to put Barry Keogh in again. Like, he had trials at Manchester United alongside Paul McGrath, you know, cancer diagnosis around then. Like, I put up a piece he did for the Dundalk website in a Players' Tribune style, which was years old, and it's just...
Do you want to replace Sox with a 57 player? Last chance.
With a 57 player?
Yeah. With
Stephen White.
Well, see, Paddy Keenan was my selection, so I feel like I should put him on if I'm putting anybody on.
We're putting pressure on Ronan here, but can I just say I thoroughly endorse this pressure. Like, I'm in favour of it. But
this is their very last chance, Ronan, before this gets cast.
No, I'm sticking with my original selection. I put enough thought into it, so.
Okay, so the OTB Mount Rushmore for Louth is Steve Staunton, Rob Kearney, Tommy McConville, and Tony Soxburn. It's not bad. And in fairness, Steve Staunton kind of doubles as a GA man as well. I think the GA crowd are definitely going to be claiming him.
Not bad for like the smallest patch of land ever existed and the smallest known people to mankind. So well done to you all.
Yeah, and Tommy McConville won a county title as well with Steve Staunton. So, like, we do have the clans would be pretty happy with the representation anyway.
It's the perfect representation of modern life.
As reparations for 2010, we should get Martin Sludden to carve this mountain into the Curly Mountains, if that's all right by everybody.
He can crack the champagne on it. That is it for Louth Mount Rushmore.
OTB AM's Mount Rushmore.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.